Hello, friends. Thank you so much for listening in. This is a brand new podcast creator along with my longtime collaborator now, I would say, the incredible Emma Holdsworth. And before we dive in, I want to acknowledge that this podcast conversation was recorded on Kaurna country and acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and honor their deep and long traditions and history of storytelling and coming together to support each other in circle, in community, especially as women and mothers. We are on unceded land, and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land, and we are deeply privileged to do so. It is also my privilege and honor to welcome you today to this podcast conversation. We're calling this Held Chats, very creatively named. It is a new branch of our creation, Emma and I, at Held Retreats. So now we have Held Social, which are the parties and gatherings that we host for mothers and especially creative mothers and caregivers to come together to celebrate the things that we deserve to be celebrated for, i.e. everything that we do. And in a couple of weeks' time, we have our next Held Social event, which is celebrating you around the time of Mother's Day and to kick off the Mother's Year, which we believe it makes way more sense to have the year run from May to May. So we'll be kicking that off on the 5th of April. So if you want to come and celebrate yourself with us in social and circle, and you're in the Southern Adelaide region or are willing to travel, we would love to have you. Come and find us on the Held Retreats Instagram. We would love to honor and celebrate you. And the other branch is obviously Held Retreats, which is our year-long group experience that we ran for the first time last year. And we are gearing up to run again this year in our new Mother's Year structure of May to February of next year. And there's more information about that you can find in all of our linky places. And if you don't know Emma or I am Sarah Harney. I am a coach, consultant, a mentor, an audio producer. I offer creative coaching, guidance, and support for creatives and visionaries with my wild ideas and my cheerleader level of encouragement and enthusiasm and education sometimes if the situation calls for that. I'm also a writer and a storyteller, and my offerings are always full of pep talks and permission slips. And of course, I am joined by and in collaboration with Emma Holdsworth. Emma is otherwise known as the mental health doula. She combines counseling, nurturing, and parent education to take good care of mothers and caregivers so that they can take good care of their babies, kids, and families. And so the conversation that you're about to hear is what we're calling Held Chats. And the premise is that we are going to take turns supporting each other on one thing. The idea is that one of us, unscripted and unprepped, brings the other the thing that they are feeling stuck about. They bring the question or the conundrum to the other person, and then the other person supports them in digging into that a little bit and getting into the corners of it, as you will hear, and offering some more questions or ideas or guidance or support on how they can work through that thing. In this case, our first one is Emma, bringing the conundrum into the space. So she's in the hot seat today, and I, Sarah, am the coach, mentor, facilitator role, wannabe therapist, as you will hear. The main reason that we wanted to bring this style of conversation to you is it's so validating and encouraging and supportive. It's just another beautiful reminder that everything is a two-way street. There is no one right way of doing this life, and that we really need each other and we deserve to be truly seen, heard, and truly held, which is obviously the ethos that Emma and I are extremely passionate about. So we love doing that for each other, and we thought, why not record that and share in the reflections and insights that pop up that might be relevant for you as well. So I hope that you get something out of it. I hope that it sparks something for you. And we would love to hear if it does. Of course, reach out. We'd love to hear. But for now, let's dive into this held chat with Emma in the hot seat. And we've decided that Emma is going to go first. So, oh yeah, if someone actually hasn't ever heard us speak, I'm Sarah Harney.
And I'm Emma Holdsworth.
So, Emma, what is something that is making you feel stuck or frustrated or sticky in your life or business or creativity at the moment?
So, I am feeling, so it's, what is it, February? No, March today?
It is.
March today.
Oh my goodness.
1st of March today. And I've been feeling a resistance to launching back in fully into work mode, into business mode, into action mode when it comes to my business and creating things. I still have a million ideas.
Yes.
as always, you know how I am. Mm-hmm. But just the motivation to do anything outside of my client work. So the actual one-on-one work I'm doing with clients or running my circles or groups, that always seems to be in flow and that always seems to be easy. And I guess that's because that's what I love.
Mm. And a couple of set offers that you have your one-on-ones, you have your under one mum circle.
Yeah.
They're kind of the main rhythmic things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Besides held, they're the two. And so thankfully I've had some ongoing clients and things that have kind of kept me in. But all of the other stuff that it takes in the background to run a business needs this sense of motivation and energy and
momentum.
And like I keep thinking, oh yeah, it's the beginning of the year. It'll, you know, I was on holidays a bit in January, kind of on and off, in and out. And now we've hit March and it still doesn't feel better.
Yeah.
And so I'm feeling stuck on, you know, how to prioritize what needs to happen. And like I'm just finding, you know, if I have time in between client work or on days that I've sort of set aside for admin or other, you know, outside of the client work stuff in my business, I feel like I just want to do other things.
Yeah. So lots happening in there that I think a lot of people can probably empathize with and are feeling. It does feel extra sludgy and slow for some reason, well, for many reasons. So I think there's a lot of reality to that that I think a lot of people are feeling. So honoring that, but also for the purposes of digging into you and your life, I wonder what feels most true. I mean, it can be a combination of things, but energy in terms of actual energy, sort of exhaustion-y rest, like capacity energy, momentum in terms of business confidence, courage, momentum, economic things, or okay, I've made the time, but I don't know where to begin, like a sort of prioritizing, overwhelm, confusion-y something. Do any of them feel the most true?
I think the first one, like actual energy exhaustion or like prioritizing what I want to give my energy to. And so that, you know, in my personal life, there's other things going on that I'm giving more energy to, like roller derby's one that I started last year and have kind of committed to following that through this year. And that takes up quite a bit of actual physical energy and time. And I'm enjoying it. So, yeah. You know, I want to be able to
like A hobby.
To give to that. Yeah, a hobby. I have a hobby.
Something that's not parenting or working.
Right, oh, totally.
Radical.
Exactly. And there's a few other, you know, a few other things that are, you know, not business related that are taking my energy, some by choice that I'm giving my energy to, and others like they kind of have to take some of the energy. So I feel like it's a combination of that energy, exhaustion, you know, all sorts of whatever fucking health stuff as
right,
well.
Right, right, right. Yep.
Hormonal stuff, yep. And, you know, age stuff and body stuff and all of those things that contribute to the exhaustion bit. But I also think.
And still, you know, parenting, aging, developing children that.
Yeah.
Every year brings every month brings a new age, a new development, a new need, a new, yep.
Yeah, absolutely. A new reflection of some shit that I have to deal with.
Yes.
with a tween and a preschooler.
Yes.
So, yes, definitely all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think also a bit of the what thing do I need to focus on, although it's not so much that because I kind of know – like I've done enough work myself or with other very helpful and wonderful people around, you know, what's going to help me get to where I want to get to. It's more like, okay, I know what those things are, but they feel hard. So with the lack of energy and the, I know I should probably focus on that area. That feels like a stretch in a direction that's not necessarily that comfortable or easy.
Mm-hmm.
For me, so
and not comfy or easy in the sense of a good stretch, like a stretching in a place I want to develop, or a stretch as in departments or areas that are not your area of expertise.
Yeah, I think so. So the outcome of the potential stretch,
yes,
is something I want.
Yes,
something I desire.
Yes,
but the actual stretch itself
is the
actual act that I have to do. to be able to reach the stretch will be uncomfortable for me and will put me in a position of like maybe a bit of anxiety or, you know, outside of a comfort zone, which, you know, obviously I don't fear being outside of my comfort zone in some ways.
Mm.
Roller derby.
Right.
That's well outside my comfort zone. But a professional stretch, yeah. Professional outside the comfort zone is, it doesn't feel – When it's a stretch that feels possible or that feels easeful, then I could put the energy stuff aside and do it because it'd be like, oh, yeah, I can totally do that. I could totally talk to those people really easily and with confidence.
Right.
But when it isn't that, when it's a stretch that involves talking to people and, like, researching, again, not my strong suit.
Yeah.
Like I can read for hours on something that I'm really interested in and that, like, lights me up. But,
yeah,
you know, the – researching companies or
yes
or businesses
finding
to
alternative
work with
or, like yeah networking or opportunities or speaking things or
yeah,
ways of getting sales or marketing that are outside your current so again a couple of things that pop out there for me. You make a great point about learning and playing and having a new hobby being an area of stretch, right? So the roller derby at the moment, while it's a brand new thing or inside, you know, 6-12 months, I wonder sometimes if we have like our courage to try a new thing that brings us joy, but it's like there's an amount of courage points.
Yeah.
And you would know this better than me, and anyone that's new to listening to us talk will know that, anyone that's new might not know that I, Sarah, fall in the business coaching realm and Emma falls in the trained therapist, counselor, doula realm, but that I've been in therapy long enough that I borrow bits and
so you should
and throw potential options for therapy. And then Emma says whether or not I'm in the zone. So listening to you, I wonder if the courage it takes to try a new thing, sometimes we've only got enough of that to do it in one-ish area. So there could be a little bit of that of like I'm meeting new people, I'm doing it's a physical, emotional, like mental and a social thing, right? So if you're already using up a bit of that courage points or spoons for want of a better term.
Yeah.
Does that mean that then there's a bit less left over for I'm going to swan into a networking setting or a conference setting or send a bunch of emails to people I don't know in my business stuff? So there might be a bit of that.
Mm.
I also want to call out things like have to, probably, should, need to in terms of business stuff.
Yeah.
Because, again, you and I always come back to the idea that, yes, the structures and systems are set up in the way that they are. We are operating in the system we're operating in. But also within that, we're in business for ourselves because we want to be and we love the work that we do.
Yeah.
But we can query some of how we go about that.
Mm.
Because I'm fascinated that you said you can imagine an outcome that you're excited about, but the perceived way you have to go about getting that
mm-hmm.
is uncomfortable to you, which I agree with you. There's uncomfy, like good stretchy uncomfy, and then there's ill.
Yeah.
So is there a way to inject that with some play or delight or what, you know, the wondering, the reimagining side of it? Or is it actually a mode of networking, sales, marketing that just doesn't suit you?
Mm. Mm.
So does any of that feel true?
Yeah. I think I like the courage points idea. I think that makes sense.
And sometimes we forget that we are actually doing something courageous already.
Yeah.
And it's like, why am I tired in my other parts of my life? Well, because we're one being. We're not like departmented.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is actually huge. Like, you know, I mean, it's like, oh yeah, you're just playing a sport, whatever. But I've never played a team sport in my life. I'm not a sport person. It's been something that I've wanted to do for almost 10 years.
Right.
And there was always something getting in the way. I'm doing it with my child, which adds, you know, some beautiful elements of, oh, I'm doing it with my child, how beautiful, like we get to do this thing together, and also some elements of I don't just get to be me in that space. I also have to be mum in that space and hold that for her and, you know, notice how she's building relationships or not building relationships and
totally.
how she's doing.
Her courage points, exactly. Her social, all of her stuff.
Exactly. So that's in there too. And yeah, it is a huge physical stretch for me. And there's, you know, fear and anxiety related to, you know, maybe injuring myself. And
yes. Or at the very least, how it would impact the other elements of your life.
Yeah.
Exactly right, how I feel exactly, about netball.
Yeah, how do I go to work if I love break it, my ankle?
And it brings me joy. But if I break my ankle, very inconvenient.
Yeah. So inconvenient. So there's that. And I think that is, you know, I think I could definitely consider how that's a bigger element than I maybe factored in. And it does use time and it does mean that there's late nights and does mean that in some of my off kid time, I actually have my kid with me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certainly not as much opportunity for time to myself or rest in this moment. That will change as time goes on. So definitely that.
Yeah, so there's a schedule change there that you've identified, which, again, knowing you have been very clever with your schedule, with your co-parent, with your kiddos, of being pretty rhythmic.
Yeah.
Not a lot changes and you've had a really great flow. And by adding something that brings you joy and connection and fun and physical movement and body and health and fitness, all that wonderful stuff, but it has woven itself into your schedule and changed things a little bit.
Yeah.
So again, I think we never give ourselves enough credit for that. That maybe every second Friday you always had downtime and then you've done roller derby 4 Fridays in a row.
Mm. Mm.
That's a big chunk.
Yeah.
In an otherwise tightly, not in like a restricted way, but a tightly organized schedule.
Mm. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. It has been very tightly organized.
Working part time and co-parenting and caring and all of the things.
And because it's been something I've wanted to do for such a long time, it's like, you know, now that I have this sense of this, I have more time to myself. I have more of this freedom in the time that I have the freedom. I'm going to pursue this thing for me.
Yeah.
But it's also a motherhood, like motherhood has come along with it.
Yes.
Motherhood is attached to it.
It's not entirely independent of one of your children. Yeah.
No, which is also actually probably bigger than I gave it credit for. And yeah, I think, yeah, it's hard to be clear in my mind about the other piece, about how I do the marketing or how I do the thing, because
I guess. Do you want to give us an example of something you want to achieve?
Yeah. So like.
We're working towards.
This idea that my main client base, which is pregnant and new parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's such a narrow time.
It's forever been your marketing conundrum. Right,
exactly. So it's such a narrow time that I can find them or that they can find me.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of people saying, oh, I wish you know, where were you when I had my babies? Or I wish I had known, and, you know, all of those things, mm-hmm. which, so, you know, it's been reinforced to me time and time again that it is a conundrum because people wish that they had have known, and or they come to me after because they're seeking something once they realize that there's an issue or that they need extra support or just the
reality of the situation, even if it's not, it just you can't predict
how
it might go for you.
Exactly. And so one of the solutions that's been posed to me for this conundrum is to work with companies or businesses that are family friendly to like allow them to create a flow of people for me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously there's more detail to it than that, but that feels right to me,
mm-hmm.
that could create some ease in that if there are some family friendly companies or businesses that want to be able to provide options for their staff and I am their option, then that's going to be beneficial for them. It's going to mean that I get in front of more people that don't have to find me and that I don't have to find. But that means me researching the companies and businesses and approaching them and, you know, perhaps, you know, creating a proposal for them and all of those things that feel outside of my zone of genius, outside of what I'm good at.
Sure.
Like, I don't feel like I'm great at that stuff. I feel like I'm great at doing the work.
For sure. And I think you undersell yourself of when you're actually in conversation with people of any walk of life, I think you are wonderful.
Thank you.
But it can feel like, how do you get to that point?
Mm.
Whether it's, emails or outreach or kind of almost even that old school sense of like, how do we connect with other businesses or companies, or even this sort of divide that sometimes we can feel in terms of like corporate or businesses over one or two people, because we've been in the more sole trader, contractor, self-employed, creative sort of hub for a while. Mm. It can feel like they're worlds apart. I certainly feel like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Even mainstream healthcare or even pregnancy care or postpartum care or midwifery support, separate from which it's alternative is not the right word, but more holistic or alternative ways of being supported in, you know, pregnancy and early parenthood. That can feel that even that, you know, doulas versus midwives, which is not actually a versus, but it can feel like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Systems. It's the systems there, you know, hospital systems or health professional systems also like that, feel kind of in a way on par. I mean, you know, I've got great relationships with private midwives and
totally
that feels different because they're also sole tradery, you know, doing their own thing
100%.
Outside of the system bubble.
And midwives themselves are incredible human beings that are trying to bring a holistic care piece to an otherwise deeply, you know, tricky healthcare system. So it's all mixed in together.
Yeah. And so I guess I see corporate and big business kind of on par with that. Like they are like the system.
And
like I feel like I have to go there to like the man.
Sure.
I have to go there to the man and like sell me to the man so that the man will sell me to the
to the people you want to support. Totally. So whilst...
How gross is that?
Totally. And while some of that is true, right? Like there's definitely some industrial bits and pieces in there. Again, you know, it wouldn't be our chat without patriarchy, capitalism, etc. But for the purposes of you supporting the people that you want to support, I query you on that story, right? How much of that is actually true? And that's the big picture, maybe, sure. But what's the absolute tiniest, most accessible version of that? And I would argue it's five delightful human-centered, woman-centered businesses on LinkedIn, you know, like the absolute, like, smallest search bubble version of that, as opposed to, you know, top 100 companies in South Australia or whatever. And I'm not saying that you're doing that either, but it can feel that big.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are lots of people already doing a lot of the legwork for us, and you absolutely don't need to do a proposal or a pitch in a way that feels gross to you.
Yeah.
So again, I think there's a reality of like, oh, what if they want a 20-page document that hits the 10 key criterias for paper? Sure. Someone might ask for that.
Yeah.
But they might what not, if you don't be my start first, with
my,
that?
They might not be my people anyway. Like that might be a bit intense for me.
Totally. And also that's not a starting point on any realm, even if that was true. A one pager, a clip, some, you know, there could be a very Emma style connection point that gets that first bit over the line, right? Because again, as we know, anytime we receive either in an in-person networking situation or an email outreach or something, it's the paragraph, it's the quick, you know, and it's usually some incredible admin assistant or person that runs the whole show anyway, you know. So I really invite you to wonder or query for yourself what feels like a more fun or accessible way of expressing who you are, but also what you actually want to do. Because I think, again, once you talk about your programs and your work, that's the easiest thing ever.
Yeah, I can talk about that until the cows come home.
Right.
It's all the steps that come before that.
Totally, totally. Which is, again, super valid, but with the potency and the depth that your work has, just by definition, get clients to talk about you on your behalf, right? We just do another little roundup of the top five little statements of what my experience was like, or how it was working with them, or I thought I didn't need this kind of support and actually it was life-changing and meant I could go back to work sooner, or and not to like lead the witness. But I think, again, there's might be a misnomer sometimes around what pregnancy and postpartum care or support or work can look like, of where we're all giving up on everything and going to like make scones in the field when in actual fact some of us have brains and desires and also financial needs that require us to be in paid work again more quickly, either than we wanted or in a way that like our intellectual desire pulls.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a brilliant and beautiful supportive way to phrase that for a business, to be like, well, actually, if someone was talking to a supportive, thoughtful, trained professional once a fortnight, that maybe they could handle a day a week back in the office or whatever, if that's the if that's the goal, you know.
Or I mean, essentially, like, you know, it could be also as simple as if your employees were to attend this workshop.
Yes, I was just thinking that. Seminars, then, webinars, workshops. Yeah.
You know, if they do anything positive for their mental health before their baby is born, then their mental health is going to improve more quickly or have less impact on them being able to return to work or or move on with their life. Yeah. So yeah, that part, I think, again, I think that part is, you know, feels a bit like a no brainer. I think it's more the
how to find who to talk to.
Yeah, the steps to take, and also that there's, I mean, there's definitely that confidence piece there about, you know, I mean, it's hard enough as a service professional to sell yourself to other women, like as in beautiful pregnant women who are looking for support, but, you know, to sell yourself to
people that you might think might not get it or are not in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
yeah, there's fear. There's fear there around being rejected, I suppose.
For sure.
You know, not being good enough or not being seen as good enough or not being, you know, not being professional enough or, you know, not knowing enough to be able to be that person for that man.
Totally. I mean,
that man in power.
Again, super valid. I'm not going to skip over, like, that is an incredibly valid feeling, fear, sentiment, for sure. And also, we know that there's a million reasons why things get rejected, not answered, bookmarked, not right now, too expensive, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so logically, I know that.
100%.
It's probably not me.
100%. 100%. But there's that core. Mm. And I think if you were speaking to me, I wonder if there's a, what else is that core, right, of like the rejection piece around good enough, trained enough. And I do wonder if, again, this like corporate versus alternative divide that you might feel like that just in general, that I've made my own way for myself. I've created a service style, which I know on the ground is beautiful and impactful.
Yeah.
But as far as the healthcare system or the counselors accreditation union or whatever, I don't know how it works, that you might feel disparate from that, separate from that.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And so how do you nurture, this is like the most Emma question I can think of, but like how do you nurture that piece or that part of you? What does that, what do you need to hear in that zone?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, just it comes back to that worthiness bit. That, you know, there's something there about reminding parts of myself that I am enough or have done enough or that... That I'm clever enough.
Right.
That I'm clever enough.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, like I know that my offers are amazing. You know, I don't get bad feedback very, very regularly. I know that the reason that I do what I do is because I have a, you know, a burning passion to make sure that mums know that they're worthy and that their needs are worthy and, you know, all of that. And that's all about worthiness.
Right.
And
that you've collected that across different parts of the industry or the healthcare system or your own experience, like lived experience and witnessed experience. You have created a hybrid because we needed one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then that can sometimes be hard to validate that because you can't validate it against anything because you invented it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. How do I prove that it's needed to someone who hasn't just had a baby or who doesn't necessarily understand the nuances of those systems or the outside of the system? Or
totally. Why would we even need to query a system that I didn't know it was even not working? That kind of stuff.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, why or why would I? Why would I want to like support you and promote you to my staff when there's, you know, when there's already systems in place to support, you know, to support women who are having mental health challenges after they have a baby.
Sure. So my brain wants to go in three different directions at once, but on that little bit, preventative support, preventative healthcare, I think the conversation in general around health or wellness or pregnancy or parenting or anything like that, I think that actually is happening a little bit of, well, hang on, how do we scaffold people in a way that might mean they don't end up in a crisis?
Yeah.
It's actually a giant life transition for even the healthiest person.
Mm, mm.
So as a business who cares, who genuinely cares about their employees, it's not just ticking a box, wouldn't we want to offer bits and pieces that might help that? Absolutely. But I don't want to skip over that part around your own internal worthiness and measurement. And see, this is the trick, right?
That was fucking nice because I tried to distract you from that and you got me back there.
I'm getting good. I've known you a long time.
But it only just occurred to me that I did that. So good you picked up on that.
Right. Well, thanks, ADHD medication. I can hold a train of thought. Because, again, I'm imagining what you would say to me around worthiness of any kind, right? I mean, how many times have we ended a session where I'm like, it's fucking worthiness, you know?
Yeah.
As much as we would love it to be external, it's an inside job, yeah, as we always say, yeah, annoyingly. So annoying. Fuck. So annoying. And I would argue that you can, like, hold that piece to be true, right? Because that's also not a fucking overnight job either. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we ain't fixing no shit.
No. And we're not a bypassy team, but we're also not a, like, just take this and it'll happen in, you know.
Yeah.
My 5-point plan for worthiness. No. Imagine. We'd be so rich. Is that, can that little bit, and for anyone listening, I'm, like, pointing at my, like, you know, core. Can that little bit be seen and heard and nurtured by you? That bit's your job for sure, mm-hmm, as you know,
yep,
annoyingly. And also kind of like have a message or a, you know, an ethos, like when you're in your business hat zone of, I will not get all the validation and accreditation that I ever would want from an external structure.
Yeah, yeah.
Let alone a person, but definitely not a structure.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. I know it.
I know you do. And what can we play the game of to, you know, answer that questions ahead of time, or that sort of FAQ, or that, it's a bit of risk minimization and courage at the same time of like, what little dot points can we put in that kind of do play into what they might need to put up against a bloody board report or something, you know, whatever. You can tell it's been a long time since either of us have worked in corporate, but that also protect you a tiny bit against being vague or not laying something out, so that you are more likely to have someone be like, I don't get it, to then hit you in the guts of, I knew it, of why I wasn't worthy or whatever.
Yeah.
So to then relieve you of the discomfort of wannabe therapist Sarah, the other practical piece I'm imagining or reflecting is that, is it a workshop? Is it a one-on-one? Is it a postpartum program? I can feel a sense of overwhelm from you around that as well, of what am I even selling them? Or what am I even giving them? Because you could do it all. Of course you could.
Yeah.
And in an ideal world, would every company have built into their bloody paid parental leave structure the workshop, the sessions for all parents, co-parents, same sex? Yeah, brilliant. But one step at a time.
I know what it is. It's the workshop. Great. It's the workshop for expecting couples, pregnant couples.
Brilliant.
So it doesn't matter whether their employee is the man or the woman.
No. Yep.
If an employee family is having a child,
yep,
then my hope is that they would then gift them or as part of their, you know, employment package, that they would be offered a place in a workshop.
Yes. Brilliant. So, again, doubling down on the really practical piece, if we were going to make it easy as pie for someone to say yes to this, what if it's literally a workshop around your themes, around how to scaffold yourself or what your needs might be, what queries or worries might be coming up for you, et cetera. And it's actually just the set workshop that they put on as the company, and anyone can choose to go, that either they might be, you know, it's like family planning in general, right? They might not be pregnant yet. Like it's almost like a sort of a key speaker kind of vibe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
also means that people could be pregnant that they're not ready to tell their employer, because that does happen, right? Yeah, around worried about discrimination.
Yeah, you don't have to tell them until you're like, you know, 10 weeks before you want to be off, or 6 weeks or something. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean, people often tell before that because they're showing
and trying to like figure stuff out. Yeah, totally. So that could be kind of cool of it's for, you know, and again, you'd lay it out like any of your stuff of what it is and how long it goes for and all that. And I will come to you and you can put it on for, you know, open invitation or it's, and it can be all nourishing and delicious just like you are. It doesn't have to feel like, again, I'm going into a big building with my 10-point PowerPoint.
Oh, I don't have to wear my suit, you're saying?
I mean, if you want, I'm sure you look absolutely smashing in a boiler suit maybe. But you could kind of still be yourself and they can have that cute little like take-home cookies or whatever. Mm. It doesn't negate everything that you've shared and the reality of how vulnerable it is to be a human being with feelings and the reality of confidence and things like that in business anyway, let alone in an increasingly challenging economic climate, let alone a mixture of traditional education and alternative trainings. All of that is mixing together potentially to make it feel a bigger divide. This is just an idea of how to like bring it back to one little nugget of, I know that 2.5 hours talking about, or even like a 60 to 90 minute with a little Q&A something at the end to talk about the stuff that we never freaking talk about with work and like what might come up for you, you know, that's life changing. Sometimes that might be the first time that anyone's ever heard that message, or that they might have needs that are unanticipated, or pregnancy might not feel how they thought it was going to feel, or that early postpartum might not feel how they thought it was going to feel, and that there is something other than just hospital visits, scans, and the 6 week home visit and good one, or calling a really, because again, Lifeline, Panda, you know, all those kind of support lines, crisis support, incredibly important for everyone.
Yeah.
But how lovely to discover before you might need it or before you get pushed to your absolute limits that there are other ways of being supported or having a mixture of like physical or mental and emotional support. And you got to hear that in your workplace well before you needed it.
Mm.
How wonderful. Mm.
Yeah.
So obviously we dug into the practical elements of that because that's how my brain works. But how does that feel now for you around the mixture of how to go about it, what you're trying to achieve, and then like that vulnerability piece?
Yeah, I feel like the worthiness bit is the bit I need to work on, and that I need to kind of feel a bit more into that and where it, you know, where it lives in my body and where it stems from, and see if I can figure out how to give that version of me that which they were not given. And then there's a bit there for me, I think, around confidence in the offer itself that I want to work on, and that'll be a bit more like a bit more strategy and a bit more copy and a bit more like fleshing out what it actually is, that like if I'm really confident in what it is that I'm offering,
I was going to say
that helps it as well with that
100%, which is why I went so far into that.
Yeah.
Also, is confidence a code for clarity, as in like knowing the like boom, boom, boom of it, and then you have confidence?
I think it, once it is really clear to me exactly what the offer looks like, then I can build confidence in it and confidence around how I'm talking about it.
Totally.
And then I might even actually get someone else. I might outsource the having a look and researching 100%. Businesses and finding me a short list.
For sure.
Of businesses or even making that initial contact and asking them questions about to find out how receptive they are. If I have someone else doing that for me, then I don't have to put myself in that position. And I don't to put myself in that position yet at that beginning part, because I will put myself in that position.
Do you take outside speakers? No, great. That don't even bother yourself.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, yeah, so I feel like I have some clarity around what the steps are and what I need to, like, what I need to work on self, what I need to work on paper, what I need to outsource, what I need to get help and support with, because it's too, you know, there's too much inner work to do around that for me to be able to do that initial piece. And if I'm then going, if I, my contact is then with a warm business or a warm corporate human, then that feels
and
that feels more doable.
And using the people we already have.
Mm.
I also wanted to say and double down partly for people listening, the part around when I know like more clearly what it is, I can build up my confidence talking about the thing, is such a great reminder of it's not that we're not sure or I don't know what it is. It actually is in there. It's just an idea, like we can feel it, but the snappy one liner or the little paragraph summarizing it and the specifics, we just haven't kind of like actually written them down or been asked in this way or been offered to reflect on it or whatever. And in doing that, it is so wildly helpful to link it back to like, oh, well, that I can sell.
Yeah. That's right.
That's outside of me.
Yeah.
That's a great offer workshop thing, like that's bigger than me, or that's and I've been doing a bit of work with my coach around that of my event. Oh, it's big and beautiful and bold of its own accord. It's not all on me or a reflection of me. I'm kind of in service of that
like it's
that,
like
I'm excited to share
getting the idea out of me, separating it from me.
Yeah.
And making it have its own like visual impact.
Totally.
Giving it its own structure and like making it an actual shape.
Yeah.
That then I can put that on the table instead of laying myself on the table.
That's right. Because also,
for all to consume.
100%. Also, heaps less vulnerable if it's, look at this thing I made. I mean, still a vulnerable thing because it's still a thing I made.
Yeah.
But it's not like, oh, look at my innermost vulnerable worthinesses of me as a human.
Yeah.
Like to say yes or no to.
Yeah, which it's never that, but it does feel like that when you're, you know, as a service provider, when you are your thing.
100%.
And like you said before, when it's, you know, a unique thing that I've created myself.
100%. Service providers in general. Your majority of work, and so many people we know, are one-on-one or one too small, you know.
Yeah.
It's the most intimate work.
Mm. Mm.
And it's also coming out of your, like, brain and mouth. Like, you're a helping professional. You're speaking and using wisdom and expertise. That does feel it is so vulnerable because it is us. Mm. Yeah. You know, what we do is us. And it's partly why, even with Held, that we know that when we actually spend time with our people in our program, it's incredible. And we have the most beautiful experiences and the most wonderful feedback, and we see all these, you know, great nuggets of awareness and change and great stuff. But when we're just like two little people separate from that, sometimes you can forget that because we came up with it in our beautiful brains.
Yes.
I mean, and still, you know, e-commerce babes still have confidence and worthiness stuff too.
Of course.
But sometimes I reckon if you like built a table, you can be like, look, I built a table.
Look at this lovely table. It's strong and it doesn't fall down.
Yeah, totally. And I can leave it with you and it can impact you the way that you want it to impact.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Good postpartum care. Like, how do you leave that, like, you can't leave that in the house.
No, I mean, well, I try.
You do.
I try and leave it in as many ways as possible.
Exactly. It's hard to measure.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Impossible to measure.
Yeah.
And that's where, and look at me, like, joining all the dots, but that's where I think the validation stuff and the accreditation stuff and the mainstream versus alternative or hybrids or whatever, that can often be where we get a bit unstuck as well, because we can't easily hold up the return on investment. the measurement, the, well, if you,
the proof,
if you put in 10 mental health points before they have a baby, you will receive 150 mental health points when they come back to work 6 months back. Like,
precisely.
How good would that be? Should we start measuring things like that? Like some color code system or whatever?
We totally should.
And yeah, so it's not a measurable thing.
No.
And our impact by definition is intangible. The life experiences that you've had, the, you know, even the positive reactions that you've had to the work that you do is intangible to you. You don't have, you know, a pile of awards, or you might probably have some thank you cards around the place, but overall you don't have trophies or measurement of you changed my life or
Some without you, I wouldn't have, some thank you cards or whatever, but no.
So I think, again, it's always nice to, well, I think there's a self-compassion bit there. There's a reality bit there, mixing again with the human and the structure and all that stuff to be like, okay, cool. Yeah, it makes sense that in a world that measures things by dollars or time or efficiencies, that I might have a bit of ick about presenting myself and my worthiness and value and why I should be invested in. Because, again, worth and value and profit are all different things. It's a separate conversation for a different day. But that then you, it might be harder to, like, stand behind that.
Yeah, I think so.
So for something to grab hold of, what feels like the most self-supportive thing to do next?
I think two things. I think from a practical perspective, it's getting really clear on what it is and what the workshop looks like or the talk looks like. And on a personal and emotional level, it's around digging into that worthiness a bit more, which, you know, is not, it's not a new concept to me or a new idea to me that the worthiness bit or the, like, you know, the who am I, how do I be that kind of bit isn't new, but I certainly didn't at the beginning of this conversation believe that was going to be where the bit was going to go.
I gotcha.
But that's, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of this. That's the beauty, right, is that these are unstructured, unscripted conversations.
Yeah, we did not plan
where
this.
We get to do the magic that we do for each other, which is really beautiful. So, yeah, I think it's the three things that I mentioned before. It's the, okay, it's all right. It's okay to outsource that bit because the worthiness work is an ongoing process and something that that isn't just a, oh yeah, just fix that, just be worthy, just be worthy, sis, just go be worthy,
and just, like, send the, like, you know, get it done, babe, like, boss babe, 20 emails out the door, you know, like,
right. So
that's okay,
so that, yeah, and to know that and to know it again and to know it again and to know it again and to, like, you know, do some remembering work around that for myself or with my therapist or whatever. That's a bit, outsource a bit to get the ball rolling. So as far as, like, an admin task for me, instead of feeling overwhelmed by all the admin tasks for this, to get this thing started, the admin task for me is get really clear on what that offer is, what that workshop looks like, and start to build confidence in the talking about it and in the words around it.
And again, for anyone listening, to go even more practical, and this is how I ideate as a sort of big thinker, is what are just even the first five dot points, you know?
Yeah.
In the, like, and I know you know, but it can be small to start with, I think. Because again, I think, and this might be that mix of creativity versus marketing, or like being a creator or a business brain, and then the, like, sales marketing piece is, we try and think of the snappy copy or the pitchy email or the tagline or even the name of it. I personally start with names of things because I'm an alliteration obsessed nerd. Names of
things kind of person.
But other people just know, like what you're saying, I just know that it's this theme in this way. You don't need a name. It could be Workshop X until you, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That, the name for me is often at the end.
Yeah. And so sometimes that can feel like as, you know, people are writing in their notes app or on in their notebook of, oh, I need to describe it perfectly first, that it needs to sound like delish away.
Yeah.
And for people who are wordy people, that might happen to me, but you're a far more experiential practical person of like, no, what does it feel like? What is it? We can describe it second kind of thing. So yeah, I just wanted to double down on that of a task of what might it be could literally be 5 2-word dot points kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wanted to come back a bit around the outsourcing piece that you said around it's okay to get someone to help me sort of rip the bandaid off a little bit or some of that. That's partly what we talked about right at the beginning of the courage points of if you know it's going to expend some courage energy and some vulnerability energy.
That I'm lacking in right now.
That you, that's right, because you're having another adventure in another part of your life, which is actually really nourishing you and will be actually building that courage, like no effort is wasted, right, is building that that personal momentum, trust stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But that it's not, you're full up on that for that bit. Someone else to like rip that bandaid off, which also is something that can be done by sort of anyone, like obviously someone with a bit of skill, but it doesn't have to actually be you as the representative to save you up for the bit that you are actually available for and the bit that you're actually excellent at, which also loops into this idea of like if you've got capacities a little bit different at the moment or less energy overall in terms of actual straight like rest and
time
that we're saving you up for the most impactful bit. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's also which makes sense. It pains us sometimes when we think about that in terms of again economic stuff around doing dishes, but if I actually sent an email, that would actually make me more money potentially than, you know, doing something for half an hour or whatever.
Yeah, not discounting the bit that like the bit that I'm using all my courage points for is for joy and fun and I'm actually spending money to do that.
Yeah.
And not making any money. That's like that's for another conversation.
Right.
The guilt around that.
That's right.
I shouldn't be using my courage points for making money.
Right. Which, again, how unfair of you as a holistic human being, but also what else is the fucking point?
Exactly.
Like if we're just making money to make money, like it's the ecosystem of like I feel like I have community and belonging and well-being and time where, I mean, this is also the trick I reckon with any kind of non-direct like return on investment activity, right? It's why we always say like rest is actually helpful for you overall. Is that when you know, you have your best idea, well, I have best ideas like in the shower or while you're driving or on that walk to the post office that you put off for just me.
Well, the post office bit, beach walk for me. Yeah.
Right. And you're like, oh, yeah. And I always reference this and never remember the name of it. So I should do some Googling. But that idea of when you have your body a bit busy and that your mind is not immediately required for something, it doesn't work while you're like parenting or doing something, that it can like go in off and like solve something because your body is like in a sort of like your gross motor skills are being activated. Sport or games or play or drawing or creative, any of that gets you into that.
Yeah.
And
do you know why that is?
Yeah, what is it called? Yeah.
It's because your brain doesn't fucking solve the problems. Your body does. Problems don't live in brains.
See, this is why we've got you. Yeah, right. As in like all
our
of
most
the like
stuck stuff, our most difficult decisions, our biggest problems, our biggest issues, our biggest challenges do not live up here. we try and make them live up here, and we think them and think them and think them and think them, and we can't solve them. But when we get embodied, then we solve them, because our body solves them. Our body has the answers, because the problems live in our body.
Yeah, right. So it's not just that it's we needed space to like intellectually work on it more. So I've like grabbed hold of the wrong part of that science.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm or like, you know, this the is hybrid. That's what I think. I mean,
yeah. Well, of course, right?
I mean, it makes sense to me, because I feel like it's all about the body, and everything's held in the body. The body keeps the score, all of, you know, that jazz.
Yep. Fascia and ligaments and
but
cells and water, and
you know, we try and think our way out of stuff, and actually we have to body our way out of stuff.
Yeah, right. Well,
anyway, tangent.
That totally. I mean, now I'm like beautiful gonna tangent. Go off on a full like but I guess that also makes sense. Like, I mean, I definitely am been known as an overthinker, or busy brain, as they say, is that it actually is just like a collection of like firing neurons, right? Or like synapses and stuff. So the brain itself, like the actual shape of it, is quite small in comparison to like the rest of our tall body.
Yeah.
So it does kind of make sense that it's a group effort. And same with like the gut smart, and there's like more nerve endings in the gut than ever, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that does make total sense that, and why like, oh, change, you know, get up and do a star jump, and like that can actually really help.
Yeah. Because like, stagnant thoughts are actually stagnant body, right?
Wow. Okay. Well, you've blown my mind. Brilliant.
Save that for another episode.
Yes. Now I'll go and watch me go and like hyperfixate. So something, I mean, I think we've done a wonderful job of like getting to a lot of the corners.
Definitely. Yeah. I feel cornered. No.
I feel
well covered. I feel well covered.
I feel
on this issue, I feel well covered.
Much deeper than I ever intended to go as the non-therapist one.
Exactly.
Sarah's not meant to get in all the corners.
No, it's good. Get in all the corners. I love it. I love it.
Is there anything that feels like an unmet need? And then what do you want to get closer to that need?
Well, it's the worthiness bit.
Yeah.
The unmet need.
We kind of got there, didn't we?
The unmet need that I have around this issue is a sense of like my motivation is hindered by a feeling of unworthiness, or by a feeling of fear around not being ... enough to be able to put myself out there in this way into the system. And getting closer to meeting that need is doing some inner work on that worthiness piece.
I love that. And also, you're not a robot. There was an element, I think, at the start of a little bit of beating yourself up around, or in any spare space I have, which normally I smash out my admin, I haven't been doing it.
Yeah.
Or I've been doing other things, or focusing on maybe client work, or just resting.
Mm.
Why not? You know, it's March, get on with it.
Yeah.
When in reality, you have added something to your calendar and your capacity. And then in your limited time that you get to work on and in your business, there was something else coming at you as well.
Yeah.
There was a bit impacting your ability to just get.
Be able to just dive into that particular zone.
And as always, it's never just one bit.
No.
And I think there's just grace to be had around that. It's okay that there's a bit of human bit, there's a bit of deep inner child work, there's a bit of global systemic stuff, and also I don't know who to email first, you know, like just a super practical
admin.
Maybe that's tasky. Like a wheel we need to like make
bits.
So to round out this side of the conversation in our first held chats, I want to hear if you've got anything. A little bit of collecting joy, collecting delight.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any funny, silly, ridiculous something to share with us as a little nugget to go out on? putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
After we've just dug into you in a child.
Oh, I think so. My littlest person, 4, started kindy a couple of weeks ago.
Oh my goodness.
Which is super exciting. That was, again, another thing to add.
Oh,
to
yeah, the, just a giant transition.
Thing to add to the
keeping that one the, in your under your hat.
The beginning of 2024 bigness, which was unexpected. She was gonna stay where she was, and then we were offered a last minute place. And so it was kind of a quick turnaround transition. And she, on her first day, she came out from her suite as little classroom. And there was a few hiccups, like her teacher was sick the first week and, you know, was meant to come for a home visit and didn't come because she was sick, and then she wasn't going to be there. And, you know, that we'd kind of built up that connection as being a big thing. Anyway, she came out from kindy, came running out to me, and without me even having to say anything, she said, "Mum, that was the best day of my life."
Oh, bless.
She later sort of reneged and said, "Well, you know, I don't know, it wasn't actually."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
in the scheme of things,
she had a great time, and her first day was really beautiful and the best, and it was the greatest day of her life. Like in that moment,
yeah,
it was the greatest day of her life, and that brought me excessive joy.
Totally. And the to know joy that it was the right relief. Decision. And yes.
You know, like, I mean, you know, it's still, there's been some hard days since then, and, you know, there'll be more hard days, I'm sure. But this general vibe of the greatest day of my life has kind of followed through over the 3 weeks that she's been going.
I love that. What a beautiful, like, everything is as big as it's ever been.
Yeah.
Like, because it is. And you remind me of that, of like, in their little lives, in their little worlds, that is the most massive, you know. Oh, I love that.
Like the greatest day of your life, like you spent with someone else and other people at a different place.
Oh, totally. Anytime you feel like there's like a win, a parenting win or a transition win or a, oh, that like we've scaffolded them in a supportive way, it always, well, not always, but often is like also a bit of a side stab of like, I survived, which is brilliant. Without you, which is brilliant, but also like, oh, what about all those other great days and every holiday and present you've ever, all the effort you've ever.
I mean, if you know my kid, it's not really surprising coming from her because she does everything big and she's a big emotion feeler and a big expresser of, you know, of joy and love and all of those things. But it really stuck in my mind. And when we have had the hard days, I just keep reminding myself of that greatest day of her life. Like,
yeah.
So good.
I love that so much. Well, thank you so much for sharing all the things.
Thank you for pulling the goods out of me.
Oh, you're welcome. If people want to find us and learn about our work and all the things, you can find us both on Instagram and our websites and stuff, which I'll pop all the links in the linky place. And yeah, we'll be back for more chats soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Held Chats with Emma Holdsworth and myself, Sarah Harney. We are so deeply appreciative that you are here with us. We hope that this conversation sparks something for you or offers a reflection or an insight or some wisdom or even just some validation and support for whatever you might be going through. Next up, obviously, will be me, Sarah, in the hot seat. Getting support from Emma around what I'm stuck on. So that'll be coming out in a couple of weeks. And as I said, I wanted to share with you a little bit more about our collaboration. If you like the sound of the way that Emma and I support each other, and you also want to be held and seen and heard in that way. So Held for 2024 is running from this May to next February because we're recreating the Mother's Year. And Held is a year-long group experience co-created by, of course, Emma and myself to support, nurture, and encourage creative mothers and caregivers. This is an invitation to craft an experience of motherhood and creativity that feels sustainable to you. We have co-created something that supports other creative mums just like us and just like you in a way that honors the truth of your season of parenting and supports your ideas and creativity or business offerings, because we believe that it is possible and deeply necessary to encourage and nurture your creative identity without ignoring your personal approach to motherhood and caring for others. We are so proud of this collaboration and the way that our different styles of leadership and facilitation and our different areas of expertise and training have come together in such a beautiful way, because my wild creativity and, you know, obsession with detail coupled with Emma's therapeutic insights and commitment to deep inner work have resulted in a beautiful symmetry and blend. This is why we work so brilliantly together in Held, and we're offering a therapeutic approach and honest acknowledgement of what is true for you, with of course a healthy dose of ritual and play and my art therapy, you know, sparkle. This is a space where all of you is welcome, truly, where your mind, your emotions and your ideas will be held and honored and supported, so that you can be the human, the parent and the creative person that you want to be. So if that is something that is interesting to you, that you are craving, please do reach out. We are welcoming in our next group of 8 people, and it would truly be an honor to support you and to have you in that space with us. So visit heldretreats.com, or you know, link in all the linky places, or come and say hello on Instagram, or of course, come to the party in a couple of weeks. Thank you for being here. Please go gently with yourself, and we'll see you next time.